This is the Ultimate
Sports Broadcasting Network,
USBN.
You're ready for some football!
Hi everyone, I'm Dan Alvarez, and welcome to the pregame and halftime show brought to you by Roslo Financial, and I'm joined, as I am each week, by the head coach of the Anderson Redskins, and Evan Dreyer. Evan, last week you took on the rivals on Bartles in a classic Anderson Turpin finish. Guys came up on the short end of the stick, losing 29-28.
That was a great game, Dan, and I can't take it away from anybody. Turpin played a great ball game, and a quarterback made plays at the end, and it didn't finish like we wanted, but it was like one of those awesome games to be a part of that you're going to remember for a long, long time. And I just wish we would have came out on top. But they made a great couple plays at the end. And, you know, I'm going to look back at it years from now, and there's still probably going to be some regrets as coaches of what we could have done, should have done earlier on in the game to make us prevail.
Yeah, I think you and I have always talked about this, and you always said about the end of the half and the beginning of the second half, and I think that's what you guys did coming out in the second half. You guys came out and really played well, and you guys outscored them 21-7. It seemed like things were, you know, going your way heading into that fourth quarter.
Yes, and we made some adjustments, but we just played more physical in the third quarter than we did in the first quarter, Dan and I couldn't be more proud of the kids for the way they played. And, you know, we came up a little bit short. And that was one of those things where you couldn't be more proud as a coach to go into a hostile environment and play the way we did and to get back on top of heading into fourth.
Yeah, Coach, I'll tell you what, you know, the thing that we know, we talked, your defense, I thought, had some huge stops in that fourth quarter, couple on fourth and two. One, you set it up that you guys drove down, I believe, to the 9-yard line. You guys only had three penalties, but I think three of them might have been, I could be wrong, at that time when you were first and goal, I think, on the 9, and you had three back-to-back penalties to force a thing. I'm not sure if that's correct, but that stop in that fourth quarter was huge.
Yes, and I would tell you, our defense played unbelievable to hold those guys to what they did all night long,
right,
man. That was great. Yeah, I thought their quarterback played his best game, and they needed him to play his best game to win the game. And offensively, I thought we did a lot of good things in the second half. We ran the ball and threw the ball. I think Jackson Coon played extremely well, threw us back into the moment, and I think, you know, you look back in the game, Zach Caldwell makes a huge fourth and two stop.
Yes.
That was one of those moments where you were hoping that would prevail us to victory.
Yeah, and I'll talk about real quick about this, and then we'll get on to the one game. Is the second big one, I think that was the one that Zach did, and it got you the ball with, like, about, I don't know, three minutes ago, and you guys ran the clock down to about a minute. It was fourth and one on the 38. You punt. Thought it was a good choice punting the football. They had to go 90 yards the way your defense was playing. Big play, 3rd and 12, like you said, Silverstein made a good play. And you, really, again, you got to take your hats off to them. But your kids played extremely, extremely well.
And, Dan, I think that call, the punt, probably was so against what I've done here the last 4 years. And I think people expected us to go for it. And I had a couple seniors look at me in the eye and said, "We'll stop them." And I'm not going to look back on that and say, "Shoot, went for it." It was a hell of a punt by Owen Kelly.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where 90 yards, you know, I say, you know, if ESPN had the percentage of win at the time for the Anderson Redskins, it was going to be very, very high. And but Silverstein made the plays when they needed him, and he threw two perfect balls. And kudos to him for making those plays right when they needed them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was a good call upon the football there with the way your defense was playing. So that, unfortunately, you know, that ends, you know, the game there for Turpin. But, you know, you go back now, you gotta look forward to a Walnut Hills team that's playing very well. They beat you last year. They're 4-4. Not only are you fighting for a playoff spot, so are they. So it's another big play, kind of a playoff atmosphere again tonight.
Oh, this is huge. This is like one of those things that we're an angry football team of how we ended last Friday, and I'm excited to see how we perform tonight. We have to stop the running game. The running attack is very, very good, and they come at you from different ways. They have two different running backs that I feel are really, really good, and we have to make sure we control the line of scrimmage tonight if we want to win the ball game.
Yeah, so just getting ready to say they got Tyre, I think his name is Dorn. He ran last week, I believe, for 284 yards, 5 touchdowns. He's a 1,000-yard rusher. He's got, like you said, there's multiple guys that can rush the football, but he's going to be a kind of a guy that you need to key on. Do you agree?
100%. If we don't stop him, we're going to lose the game, Dan.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing is in their victories, they've been able to rush the football at people, and I think that's going to be key for us to make sure it's third and long and to get off the field.
Yeah, and it seems like they give a lot up through the air, but they've been giving up kind of both. They've had some teams that have rushed against them. What's going to be your key? Is kind of mixing it up a little bit, or what do you feel?
I think we have to play mistake free, Dan. You know, you're talking about the first and goal from the 9 and
right.
Goal penalties. And then the turnover that gave Turpin the short field. I think we have to make sure that, you know, we take care of the football and we don't get in third and long situations over and over again like we did last year. And I think that's what hurt us last year for them is that we got the third and long, like 4 or 5 straight possessions, and we didn't convert.
Yeah, and I, the big thing too, and I this won't air before anybody knows about it or what's going on, but you know, Jackson Kuhn obviously is not going to be there for the game. How has that been preparing for you to try to get ready for this game with Jackson not being able to play tonight?
Oh, I think that's the part of coaching high school football that we really enjoyed this week. Seniors have stepped up, and we're going to go with about 3 different quarterbacks tonight because our second-string quarterback, Kevin Upchurch, is out, and we'll see. We're evaluating him for next week, and Jackson the same. And you'll see Ben Schneider, you'll see Jordan Clanahan, you'll see James Camden all playing quarterback.
Wow.
So the wild skin, I think, will be a little bit different this week. But we feel really comfortable with Bennett and Jarek and James have all played quarterback throughout freshman year, sophomore year. So we're really confident in what we can do, throwing and running the ball. But it's going to be a little bit different. I'm not going to say it's going to be a wing T offense, Dan, like West Claremont, but it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to see more tight ends, more O linemen in the game. You might see some defensive guys play offense. And this is one of these games where we have to put everything in it. So you're going to see a lot of guys, offense and defensively, play.
I got a stupid question here because I'm not the smartest guy in the world about figuring all this stuff out. But so, saying that, do you have one of those between those three guys that might throw the ball better than the other guy, and another guy might run? And how do you know your offense is so dynamic? How do you figure that stuff out? Are they already in the game? Like, will Bennett and Jarek being the same, and you can just move them around? I'm not real smart with that. How does that all work out?
So James is going to start a quarterback, but at the same time, James is also going to play defense, and Jarek is going to play receiver, quarterback, and kick returner. Bennett Schneider is going to play receiver, kick returner, quarterback. So you won't know until the ball is about to be hiked. If he's actually going to say hike, and James throws it very well. Jarek will be more of a kind of triple option guy. And then Bennett is just the most intelligent football player I've been around in a long time. We're just getting everybody lined up, knowing where to go with football, doing some pre-snap and post-snap RPOs.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out. I'm sure the kids are going to be prepared, and I think they know what's on the line. And hopefully we can come out with a victory tonight.
Man, it's one of the times, so, you know, we're 5-3. I think people don't realize we're fighting for that spot, and we're going to go after Juan Hills with the kitchen sink. We're not going to lay down. We're angry. We're just going to get after it and play 48 minutes of high intensity and high energetic football.
Coach, I really appreciate your time. I know you got a lot going on, and everybody really enjoys these things. And again, thanks for your time, and go Skins.
Go Skins.
All right, that's Coach Evan Dreyer joining us on the pregame and halftime show. We'll be back with former head coach Vince Soriano right after this. Hi, everyone. I'm Dan Alberts, and welcome to the pregame and halftime show, joined by Roslo Financial, and I'm joined with the former head coach, the Anderson Redskins, and Vince Soriano. And Vince, last week, Anderson took on Turpin, and typical Anderson Turpin fashion, it came down to the end, and it was just a it was a great high school game, and unfortunately Anderson came up on a short end.
Yeah, Dan, I thought this, watching the game, for I thought both teams played very, very well. And what I was really impressed with is as intense of a rivalry as that has become, that it was a very well-played game in terms of it was very clean. There wasn't any finger pointing.
Right.
There wasn't any jawing and mouthing. And the players played really hard. They hit hard. They got up. They did their business. And in my opinion, I think that's a credit to the coaching staffs and the way they approach the game and the players themselves with the character and sportsmanship that they showed in that game. And I just think that that was very well played, and I think those people deserve a lot of credit.
Totally
the other
agree.
Thing is, that was two very, very good football teams, and in my opinion, somewhere along the line, as these players been coming up through the system in youth football at Nagel, people have done a very good job with them, and, you know, both of those teams are in the top eight of the region, and those were two really good football teams. So, you know, and when I evaluated the game, I thought the difference in the game of determining the winner and the loser, I thought one of the factors was Anderson had the ball inside the 10-yard line twice
yep.
during that game
yep.
and came away with 0 points.
Yep.
You know, they had the ball one time, I think it was a 4th-and-2, a 4th-and-yard-and-a-half, and the quarterback sneak didn't get in. And then later in the game, in the fourth quarter, when they had the ball at the 9-yard line and got the 2, I think might have been back-to-back penalties, and didn't get any points. Well, there's at least 12 points, possibly 14 points in that given situation. And then I thought the other difference was how Silverstein, Turpin's quarterback, I thought he played his best game of the year so far. Because I've seen about 4 or 5 Turpin games on video and watched him, and he is a very good quarterback. But I thought he played his best game to date. And I always have this saying that I used to tell my players when I was the coach at Anderson is in big games you've got to make plays, and I used to use this phrase, big time players make big time plays in big time games.
Yep.
And I used to drill that into them. You know, and I thought that Turpin did a great job of adjusting well to not having Reese Evans, that they really, you know, as good as a player as he is, they have kept their offense moving, and they have executed very well without their star running back, and that's a credit to them. So, you know, it was a classic Anderson-Turpin game, and I just give both staffs and both teams a lot of credit for how well they played the game.
No, I totally agree with you, Vince. I thought they both played well and liked the sportsmanships on both ends. And, I, you know, Evan always talks about always trying to make something happen at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half. Well, the second half they came out, made some adjustments, played really, really well, and outscored the Spartans 21-7 in that third quarter, and it really seemed like they were taking over the game and momentum going into that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anderson has really become a second half.
Absolutely.
Team. I'm not saying they're not playing well in the first half, but they make some really good adjustments at halftime, and they come out and they execute and play very well in the second half. So I think if they're close at halftime, they've got a really good chance of winning the football game.
Absolutely. They, you know, I think, you know, all year long, their defense has come up huge. And that fourth quarter, they had some pretty big stops and a couple fourth and twos. But, you know, the big one that I thought was, unfortunately for Anderson, when they did drive down, like you said, on the 9-yard line and had those penalties, Turpin got the ball back, and it was a 4th-and-2, and I believe Zach Caldwell came in and made an unbelievable tackle and gave Anderson the ball back with 3 minutes to go. And again, we've got to take their hats off to that defense because they played very well that night, too.
Right. And I thought, you know, one of the things that I noticed that Turpin did very well is they're, and we talked about this last week, they're really good with the outside zone scheme. And I thought Anderson did a very nice job of keeping leverage and stopping the cutback lanes. And they did a really good job, particularly in the second half, with Turpin's base play in which everything is built off of.
Yep.
So that's a credit, again, to the defense and how well they're playing.
All right, so the big one came down when it was, I would say, probably about a minute to go in the game, 4th and 1 on their own 38. And Anderson punted the ball, and I agreed with the call. I thought he should have punted the football the way their defense was playing, and it ended up being an unbelievably awesome punt by Owen Kelly and put it down on the 10-yard line, and they had to go with no timeouts left. I agree with that call. I know, and Evan kind of talked about it, that, you know, he typically doesn't do that. He usually goes for it. I don't know if I would have went for it in that situation. I think I would have kicked the football, too.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that being an ex-head coach and a play caller and all that, I usually do not second-guess anything that a head coach does,
right.
Whether I agree with it or disagree. But people ask me, well, what would you do? Well, I probably would have punted the ball also with your defense playing well.
Exactly.
And if you get a decent punt, they've got 80 to 90 yards to go with no timeouts. Usually head coaches play the percentages, and the percentage of a team going 90 yards with just a little over a minute to go in the game and no timeouts is, in particularly in high school, that's a pretty low percentage that they can go 90 yards and make something happen. So, I never second-guessed a head coach one way or the other, but, I probably would have punted the ball also.
Yeah, I agree. And in the end, what it came down was, is Turpin made big plays. They had a big 3rd and 12. Anderson and Silverstein made a nice play on the sideline. So they came up with the plays. It wasn't that, you know. So again, take your hats off to Turpin. They played a very good game, and gutsy call by McCullough to go for that win there with that 2-point conversion.
Right, sometimes you get in a game as a head coach, and you look at that situation, and it is, do I have a better chance to win right now, or do I have a better chance to win in overtime? When you've got
right.
4 plays to run or whatever. And I think Kent felt that he was just going to put it all on the line there. That maybe his team was tired, or maybe they were out of ideas. I don't know.
Right.
But he felt that they had a better chance to win at taking a shot with their 2-point play or whatever they were going to do schematically at that point in time, and it turned out to be the right decision for them.
Absolutely. So Anderson's got to kind of shake that off now and get ready and taking on a Walnut Hills team that's 4-4, and they themselves are fighting for a playoff spot. I believe they're sitting outside at number 9. So, again, this is another back-to-back, another big game for the Redskins.
Yeah, you know, when you lose a tough game like that, you know, and I had talked to Coach Dreyer, that the thing that you want to do to get your team back is to be as positive as you possibly can throughout the course of the week to build them back up and understand that that game is over with, you can't do anything about it, and that you've got to get ready, you know, what's the possibility of making it to the playoffs? You've got to win the next 2 weeks, definitely. So take care of what you can take care of. And I think that's important. You know, Walnut Hills is a pretty good football team. And you know, they're coached by, I don't know how many people know this, Jerry Beauchamp. And he was the offensive coordinator of LaSalle when they won those back-to-back state championships. He was the play caller. And, when I was at UC, I was in charge of getting the coaches to work in our summer football camps, and I always got Jerry to work the camp, and he would work with the quarterbacks. He was a very good coach.
Yeah.
So, one
of the couple guys that they got, I know last week they ran for 533 yards rushing. They didn't really throw the ball too much, but one of the guys, they had 3 guys that went over 100 yards, and they had one guy, Tyrese Dorn, had 20 carries, 284 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he's rushed for over 1,000 yards. So it's going to be really imperative for them to stop Dorn.
Yeah, he's the key guy to their offense. You know, they are what I call a big play team. If you study them and break them down, they can drive the football, but they make a lot of things happen with big plays. And one of the things that they do that's a little bit different is they use what you call a lot of jet motion. When you bring a wide receiver, like a slot receiver, and you motion him across as fast as you can towards the quarterback, and then you snap the ball when he gets over the backside tackle, and then you can do, and what they're doing is one of four things with this motion. They're either handing it off to him, or they're letting him lead the quarterback on a jet run where he runs the jet sweep, or they run in this direction where they fake to him, and then the running back will run in the opposite direction, or they'll fake to him and the quarterback will run in the opposite direction of the jet motion. And everything, I don't say everything, but a lot of what they do is built off of those four aspects of their offense with that jet motion. So, and then they'll throw in some inside zone in there also. But, you know, I think that's a big part of their offense, and it's called window dressing, where you have that receiver flying across there, and it's like he's trying to catch your eyes, and then you either give him the ball, or you use him as a decoy, or use him as a blocker. So it's an interesting concept, and they're having a lot of success with it, and they're breaking a lot of big plays because of it. So they're not a 4 and 5 yard team. They may get 3, 4, 5 yards, and then they break a 40-yard run. So that's what their offense is made out of.
So predominantly we'll see them run the football more than throw the football. Is that correct?
Yes, they will throw the ball, and again, Coach Beauchamp is a good offensive mind, but he also understands that the strength of their attack is the running game. They will throw it to keep you honest and to keep you off balance, but he knows that's not where he's going to make all his money.
Yeah, and obviously the big story here at Anderson, not a lot of people know, and since we're, you know, like shortly here before kickoff, is that unfortunately Jackson Kuhn went out or ended up breaking a bone, I think, in his hand, his non-throwing hand, so he will not be playing tonight, and Anderson's got to try to deal with a quarterback, and we understand that James Candle will be moved from wide receiver to quarterback, and it's going to be a tough task for the Redskins to not have Jackson Kuhn in here, but I think Coach Dreyer will have these kids prepared and ready to go.
Yeah, one of the things, and I even had a conversation with Coach Dreyer about this, one of the things that you have to do when you lose your starting quarterback, and particularly, you know, they've lost Upchurch, so really they're down to their third choice at quarterback, not that James Camden isn't a good athlete and can't do the job, but one of the things that you have to be concerned with as a coach and a play caller is you've got to be focused on what he can do. What does he do, and what does he do well? And that's what you emphasize, not so much strategically what play is good against this defense or this pass coverage. It's what does James Camden do well, and he's had success with in practice during the week. And one of the things that I always did with quarterbacks that I coached is I charted everything that they threw throughout the course of the week, and I tallied whether it was complete, incomplete, you know, how much yardage they got. And then as I got closer to game time, that started to become my playlist of how I was going to call the game. It was based on what have they done well, not necessarily strategically what beats that coverage. And that seemed to work, you know, for us when we use that approach.
Well, I guess the question I have, and I have thought about this too, is like, obviously they're not going to be able to have as many plays as they have in their playbook already. So let's say that James is only good at particularly 15 plays, is that all you're going to be running? Is just, if, I mean, I guess that, you see what I'm saying? Is that, or do you try to do a lot more run?
You can throw some auxiliary things in there, but usually when you plan those 15 to 20 plays, they meet all the circumstances and down and distances in which you have to you will meet during right. the course of the game, so that you know you're diversified enough that you can meet all the situations. So yeah, and then you have a few auxiliary things that maybe he does 50-50.
Right.
You know, that you can use.
Yeah.
But you know that again, that always, you know, that seemed to always work for us when we were in that situation.
So, Coach, what do you feel like is going to be the keys of the game? Obviously, probably not turning the ball over, and just like you said earlier, is trying to stop, you know, Dorn and that rushing attack from Walnut Hills could be the keys of the game.
Yeah, I think if you can limit Walnut Hills on big plays defensively, and then, you know, when we looked at them defensively, you know, most of the time they're in two high safeties, and they're playing what you call cover two, two deep and hard corners, but not very much, and then cover four, which is everybody protecting four deep zones, and then cover six, which is what you call cover four on one side and cover two on the other side, hence cover six, that you can throw it into the flats. And they're backed off, and their corners back off. They don't blitz a lot. So I think Anderson needs to control the football, stop them from having big plays, and control the football and put some drives together where you're keeping that running back off the field as much as possible.
Kind of like a flip script of what people try to do to Anderson and not have the ball
exactly.
as Lush.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, you know, Anderson has to use the clock a little bit.
Yeah.
Keep their big play threat off the field.
Absolutely. Well, Vince, you know, as always, I appreciate this, and hopefully the Redskins can pull that victory out tonight and then get themselves ready for Loveland next week, and hopefully we can get a big victory tonight.
I'm with you, Dan. All right, good luck, and let's go Redskins.
All right, thanks a lot, Vince. That's Vince Soriano joining us, and we'll be back with game action right after this.